We are glad to make all of our JCast Network podcasts free for our listeners. However, they are not free to produce and host. Please consider making a donation to JCast Network to help support our work by visiting jcastnetwork.org/donate. Thanks for your support.
You are listening to A Taste of Romamoo, a JCast Network podcast. For more information about Romamoo, please visit romamoo.org. For more information about the other JCast Network podcasts and blogs, please visit jcastnetwork.org.
It's been an amazing journey. You've been with us from the beginning. 10 days ago, we stood here talking about the 10 days of radical possibility, 10 days of transformation. Shared with you the teaching that the 10 days of awe, the 10 days from Rosh Hashanah until Yom Kippur, till tonight, parallel the 10 utterances with which God created the world in our creation story. And God said, let there be. And God said, 10 times God said, and each one of those is said to parallel one of the days of the 10 days of potential transformation. And then we went deeper. We said that not only were the 10 utterances and the 10 days, but also that the Ten Commandments, remember this? The first commandment was connected to the first day and to the first utterance and to the first day of Rosh Hashanah. And God spoke and the world came into being, and the first day was, wow, the world could be created. And the second utterance, and God said, let there be light, was the second day of Rosh Hashanah, the sphere of Bina. How do we bring light into the world? And so on, the third day and the fourth day. Maybe you didn't stick with all 10 of them, but here we are in the last one, you know? And the 10th and last utterance is, Lo tov hayot adam levado. It isn't good to be alone. Maybe that's the reason why on the 10th day of the 10 days of awesome transformation, we can't bear to be alone. And I know there are people watching now online somewhere, and I was so happy that we did that. So wherever they are, no matter where and how isolated they might be, they can still connect it to this community or to another community. I know BJ live streams other places. I mean, thank goodness. Wow, what a bracha. Lo tov hayot adam levado. It's not a good thing. It doesn't feel good to be alone. I don't mean here whether you're single or not single. I just mean where you don't feel connected to your chevra. You don't feel that people are watching and connected with you. And I think if you've been with us for the last 10 days and even the last 10 minutes, you can feel that this is a community like that. And it kind of makes me sometimes, especially, I think were it not for the fasting bit, I would want to just stay with all of you for the rest of the week. Just let's go together. Let's hang out, you know? It's like one of the great Hasidic masters, one of the great spiritual masters used to say, give me 10 good people and we'll storm the gates of heaven. Just need 10. We have more than 10 here. And so from that first teaching into the second day, into the first day rather, Rosh Hashanah, Rabbi Jessica gave us that very, very powerful and beautiful teaching about that laugh of Sarah. Sarah's laugh. Lo ki tzachakt. Quoting our teacher, Aviva Zornberg, who said, no, not the first Sarah, not the cynical Sarah, but the audition that everybody stood up for the second Sarah, the Sarah who laughed. Sarah who laughed because and precisely because that very laughter was what birthed the space for possibility. Laughter as a way of creating space. We talked about open, closed, open, and labels. About what it is to have labels that limit, whether it's the label of fat, skinny, Jewish, non-Jewish. You name a label and it limits, and sometimes that limiting is good, important, vital, dignified. But often, and too often, more often than we would like to admit, our labels preconceive and predetermine the very encounter that we're about to have. I don't really know you, but hi. Who are you? On the second day, we talked about the sacrifices that we need to make if we are to recognize our privilege and our power in whatever way we do it. at whatever level that we buy in, at least to begin, if you haven't already, and if you are, thank goodness, to think about what it means to be privileged. And as you heard last night, I'm certainly not someone who has always personally felt privileged. And I'm privileged. And I have power. And if we're going to make the world a better place, we have to begin from that space, at least part of that space. And then last night, I spoke with you about I owe yous and I love yous. And I asked all of you to make a list, and if you didn't yet, tonight's a good night, tomorrow's a good day, next week's good too. A list of the IOUs in our lives. Who do we owe something to? Who is it that is waiting for us to pay something back? And what is it that we need to pay back? And if we can write it down and figure it out, maybe we can maybe pay them back. And if we can't, maybe we can't. And what about others who owe us not just in a personal way, but in a more global way, the things that are owed to us, and how we can come to name those things too and then rip them up if they can't be paid up? Find a way. If they can't pay you back, maybe you need to forgive them. Or maybe not. We are about to enter into Ni'ilah, and Ni'ilah always is such a powerful moment for all of us. We come back, we come to. I brought with me the prayers that had been written during the time that all of us were sitting together 1 week before Rosh Hashanah. People wrote prayers that allowed Rabbi Jessica and myself a little window into what they're holding in their lives. These are some of the things people wrote, and there are probably an infinite number of other things that people didn't write, that they couldn't write, that they could never write. People who have parents who are ill, people who have parents who are difficult. That's every letter in here. I meant that about myself. None of you, none of the parents up there. I'm a pain in the tuchus. These are the prayers. And I brought another prayer from a grandfather named David Fuchs, who many, many years ago watched as his 11-and-a-half-year-old granddaughter succumbed to an illness. He wrote this after she passed away. Yehi ritzoncha ritzoni. Yehi ritzoncha ritzoni. Yehi ritzoni ritzoncha. Ishtalvu ritzonenu liyot echad. Source of life, may my will align with yours. And may your will find its way into mine. May they blend together to become one. Yehi kochecha kochi, yehi kochi kochecha. May my strength come from you, and may your strength be mine. Yidchabru kuchenu lekoach shelanu. May our strengths come together and be united. Tashlim ma'alatcha et chesroni, ma'alati et chesroncha, ma'alotenu tishtalemna. Please fill in that which I lack, and may my lack be filled by that which makes that which your gift is, and may my gift fill in your lack. And may our gifts be united as one. A few days before that, his granddaughter had written in her diary, yesterday I felt not so good. In the last couple of days, not so good. But yesterday at night I slept so well, and I got up this morning for the first time feeling energized. And it would seem that today, because of that sleep, I feel a lot better. This is the first day that I understood what is said when they say that God doesn't let us know the day we will die, so that we will get everything we can out of each day. As Barur. שאני לא מתכוונת ממש עכשיו לזה שאני יכולה למות כל יום, כלומר. What it means clearly, she says, is not that I think that actually I'm going to die any day. אבל פחות, אני יותר מתכוונת לזה שאני לא ירגיש טוב. What I mean to say is that I know that I'm sick and I will continue to be sick, but I want on the days when I'm not feeling sick to find my strength and to squeeze life. אז אם היום אני מרגישה טוב, אז כדאי לי לנצל את זה עד הסוף, כי אני לא יודעת מה יהיה מחר. 11.5-year-old Ruth. She said, I have to take advantage of every day because I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. Ruth's mother is an amazing woman who has an organization in Israel that brings musicians to hospitals to bring music to children who are sick and to anyone who wants the music to feel better. And I asked Ruth, I'm sorry, I asked my friend if I could read Ruth's diary, because I want to tell you that this has been a very difficult year for all of us. Maybe you don't feel it right now, but I can't imagine that you don't. It doesn't matter in my heart where you are politically, who you voted for today. I have absolutely no doubt, 100,000%, that there isn't one person in this room that doesn't feel that this year was a very, very, very painful and difficult year. We were not at our best, and we were far from it. And so Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah are like that music my friend brings into the Beit Cholim, into the hospital, and says to everyone, hey, we have more time. We have tomorrow. We think. And like 11.5-year-old Ruth, this music that she inspired was to tell us, "Linatzel et hazman," to make the most of our time. So we came in, and there was music and a lot of mumbling. You know, there was a great Rebbe, the Berditcheva Rebbe, who one day was in a hotel, and he had not brought his prayer finalia. He hadn't brought his talis, his tefillin, he hadn't brought his phylacteries, and there was only one pair, and everybody was lined up downstairs in the inn, waiting to put on, to bind themselves with this one pair of tefillin that the innkeeper had. And as each one of the people that was there in the inn was putting on the tefillin, they were putting on the phylacteries, and then they were mumbling, and then they would take them off and they would put them back on the table, and then somebody else would come and pick up the tefillin. So at the end, the Berditcheva Rebbe, who was sitting there watching this entire thing, he called one of the people over, one of the business people who was making his way out quickly, and he looked at him and he said, so they looked at him and thought, like, Dubis, a Meshigina, what, you're crazy. And so he just gives him, they said, we have no idea what you're saying. So the Rebbe said, yeah, that's exactly what you sounded like when you were talking to God. And then one of them said something that he just opened the Berditcheva's heart. He said, you know, Rebbe, I have an explanation. When a child comes to talk to their parent, even if they don't have words, they just go, ba 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 ba. And the parent understands. And the Vedishiva got so excited, he started jumping up and down. And he said, you see God? All of the words, last night, this morning, and now, all of them for one purpose. To wake us up, to open this closed place. I know we said open, closed, open, and sometimes closing is exactly what needs to happen. Everyone has a different shutter speed with their heart. But as we enter into Ne'ilah, into the closing of the gates, we say, whatever is closed in me, open. As the gates close, open me to see what it is that I need to feel, say, think, do, so that next time is not like last time. That last time was the last time. Open me, open me, open me, open me. To live this life, because I don't know what tomorrow will bring and the next day after that, and I don't want to waste it. I'm praying tonight for my uncle who's sick. It was a great chazan in his time, and whose voice is still in my heart. I don't know how it works. I don't even know if it works. And I don't care. Because it's real and it's true. And because all I can say for Ruth and for my own soul and the souls of us in this community, in this room, and in this country is, please open my closed heart. Open my closed fists. Open my closed eyes. To see my brothers and sisters in Puerto Rico, in Mexico, in the streets of our country. And in 3 months from now, when the music has faded and when the words have been placed in the right file for the high holiday sermons and words of inspiration, that something still beats in me and says, turn. Swallow your pride, turn to your beloved and say, do you know that I'm with you? I see that you're hurting, I'm with you. That's why I'm here with you. So we wouldn't have a Yom Kippur if we didn't hear from some of you. We don't have a lot of time. But there is a story about a shepherd boy named Shepsel. He was one who took care of the horses in the stable of his stepfather. He lived with them. Shepsel had a dear sister, a stepsister whose name was Leah. Shepsel, the shepherd, the horse, the one who took care of the horses, the stable boy. Shepsel got sick. And as the family watched over Shepsel, Shepsel passed to the other side. And because of the great love and ardor between Shepsel and his sister Leah, Leah also got sick when Shepsel passed away. And as she lay sick in her bed, her father, bereft, fell asleep and dreamed. And in the dream, he ascended to heaven and found Shepsel. And he asked Shepsel, he said, Shepsel, do you know Leah is sick? What are you doing up here? He said, everything up here is great. Because I'm a stable boy, because I worked with horses, now I take care of the horses of all the righteous people here in heaven. Everything is good. His father said, but Leah is sick. And Shepzel said, don't worry. Don't worry, Dad, I have a cure. And he took his father to a place and he said, this is the Garden of Eden. And you see those leaves on the floor of the Garden of Eden? Those leaves are special, magical leaves. Those leaves from the Garden of Eden, if you bring those back to Leah and make a tea with those leaves, she will be healed. And so he took the leaves with him and woke up the next morning, and miraculously the window was open and leaves he had never seen from a place he had never been to were strewn about the room. He scooped up the leaves and make a tea and gave it to Leah, and those leaves from the Garden of Eden healed Leah. She got married and 2 years later had a child and named him Shepzel. And so as the gates are closing now, I invite all of us to think of the leaves from the Garden of Eden that we'll take with us.